You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
Hello, welcome to Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds and stories from the Asian region. I'm your host, Afnir Tink. This week on the show, I'm joined by Nur Wahida, vocalist and songwriter for Singaporean alternative band Subsonic Eye, who dropped their double single Malay EP just last September, alongside a full-length album back in January. At the start of the year, stay tuned for that chat. But as usual, got a whole bunch of Asian tunes coming your way before that in the meantime. I've got something from Local Boys Lust, something from Japanese artist Mei Ehara together with Faye Webster and more. But first up, let's play one from Korean trio. They go by the name Wave to Earth. Check it out. Here's a track called Surf.
Good.
You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
Late last year's excellent Fanta Black album, that was Malaysian duo Lust with Hedonist. Heading to our very first break for this hour, but when we return, I'll be joined by Wahida, vocalist for Singaporean band Subsonic Eye. Before that, let's play one taken from the latest full-length release from Subsonic Eye. It's called Nature of Things, with the track called Fruitcake. Stay tuned right here on Wavelength, BFM 89.9.
She's
Welcome back to Wavelength, bringing the best sounds and stories from the Asian region. I'm your host, Ofnir Ting. Right now, joining me on the show, I have Wahida. She's from the band Subsonic Eye, who's here to tell us more about their new EP and all that. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me here.
We really enjoyed the band's music, especially the new EP that you guys just put out. And also the album, I believe it was dropped early this year, Nature of Things. What an album.
Yeah, in January. Thank you.
How are you doing?
Good. Excited to write more things, I think. Yeah, but it was really exciting working on the EP recently, so yeah.
Which we'll get into in a bit. But the band recently played in front of a live audience last Friday, I believe.
Yes.
Has the band played more virtual shows compared to live shows so far?
Yes, I think we played a lot of virtual shows, but sometimes we're super privileged to have like real life shows. So like for our album launch for Nature of Things, we had like a real life show, and it was kind of awkward because it was like a massive space, but like they couldn't fill up the place because all the restrictions.
Mm-mm.
So but yeah, anyway, just super like privileged every time like an opportunity comes in and they'd be like, you can play live, and it's like, okay, we're taking it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the moment we had this, like we all had work, we all had everything, and then they were like, but it's live, and we're like, okay, yeah, we're doing it.
Enough said. But I mean, even though some venues require the audience to sit down,
yeah,
not cheer, time, yeah. But you guys are still up for it, lah.
Yeah.
You know, the sound of the band has really morphed, right, with each new release, which might make it a bit tricky to include songs from the debut 2017 album. And I know how you feel about playing certain tracks from that album, like Sun-Kissed Skin. But are there any plans to rework those songs with the flavor of, you know, the 2021 Subsonic Eye sound?
I think we have tried countless times to like replay Sun-Kissed Skin in many different ways. We try to make it faster, we try to make it slower, we try to make it groovier, and like for now it's like, I mean if we play a live show, because I know that like not everyone there probably likes our new stuff, so when we play like a live show, I think we kind of try to put the old, just play it for the sake of like, you know, like making everyone happy. And like, I guess, I mean, sometimes when you play really old songs, it's like super nostalgic.
Hmm.
But yeah, definitely we'll try to rework it. But for now, Sun-Kissed Skin cannot be reworked.
On to newer things. Congrats on the new EP. Two Malay songs, Dijangka and Matahari. First ever bunch of Malay songs by the band, I believe.
Yeah.
Was the writing process any different from your previous music?
So normally the process is like, Dan will write a song at home, the guitarist then, and then after that he'll send it to me with like all the e-drums and everything, and I'll write a melody and lyrics over it. But for some reason, when I heard the instrumentals for the song that's now Matahari, like I just couldn't write anything. And then I was like, you know what, let's just try writing in Malay. And I'm actually Malay, and I was actually pretty good in Malay in school, but I can't really write great Malay now. So, but when I wrote Matahari in Malay, was like, it introduced me to like a lot of different kinds of like tones and like vocal inflections that like English doesn't have.
Mm-mm.
And it's, I think it's super interesting. I think like I would encourage anyone who like has the second language or whatever just to try out singing in a different language, because it's just like, it is really cool. Yeah, it's really fun.
When were those two songs written? Was it after the previous album?
Yeah, Matahari was pretty near the Nature of Things, because we released it as a like a bonus track in the vinyl.
Hmm.
And then we re-recorded that song, and then Dijangka was like a kind of a last minute, we just wanted to like complete just to make it like a EP.
Hmm.
So we wrote Dijangka like pretty recently, so yeah.
Do you think there'll be more Malay tracks to come?
If I have more Malay vocab in my brain, then maybe, yeah.
Because speaking and writing is two different things, right?
Yes, yeah. Speaking and writing and like understanding. I can definitely understand Malay, but you know, when someone like asks me something in Malay and I have to explain it, like it's a whole different thing.
I also read that the band wanted Dijangka and Matahari to be easily digestible, and it's something that, you know, first-time listeners can quickly understand. maybe you could explain that a bit further. Were there some elements that had to be like toned down intentionally for the two tracks?
I think maybe not be so experimental. I mean, because I'm just talking on like my vocals. If you compare it to like the Nature of Things, like I kind of don't care if my vocal sounded ugly in Nature of Things, but that was the point of Nature of Things. It was be like really raw and expressive. But in Dijangka and Matahari, I just wanted it to be like pretty, because like that was the point of the EP. It was just like a very nice, fresh, like easy listening album, rather than Nature of Things, which to me was supposed to be like challenging. Yeah.
Do you guys find that you reached out to, you know, a new set of audiences that maybe previously did not listen to your music?
With the EP?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I think we played Matahari for like a couple of the recorded sessions. And then like there were a couple of like Indonesian commenters saying like, oh my God, is this like a Malay Indonesian song? And like got a lot of like, yeah, non-English speakers really hyped up about it. So yeah, I'm happy that like, I can like, you know, there's some sort of like truly my identity in this song, which is pretty cool, yeah.
Matahari was played in the KEXP session, right? Was it the KEXP session?
Yeah. Oh, no. It was played in like another thing called Tone House Sessions, but the Dijangka was in the KEXP one.
Were you guys actively writing and producing songs during the lockdown?
Yeah. We were practicing Nature of Things because sometimes like there was a lockdown and sometimes there wasn't. So we would meet up when like the tiny, because it, you know, it was like always like fluctuating. So every time that we could hang out, we would always jam together in like a house. And Dan and I, we've been like writing a couple of songs for like the next, yeah, I don't know anything about that. But because we normally write stuff through like just sending each other tracks. So it's not that different. And then once we got the track kind of solid, we give it to the band and then like everyone like puts their own spin to the song. Yeah.
Are the vocals normally recorded at home? Because looking at the linear notes, I realised that mostly the drums are recorded in the studio or even the bass for recently. But then is everything else recorded at home?
Yeah, I think so. The guitars recorded at home, vocals also. Vocals, I just spent like one whole day with like a pretty good mic. And like, yeah, it was everything at home. I don't know why, but I think because the drums were always so hard to get. So that's why we had to like not risk it and just put it in like a real studio. But with these kind of things, like I think we all really know how to do this kind of stuff.
But I'm sure there are lots of benefits, right, with recording at home, especially for like vocals, for recording at home compared to recording in a studio.
Yeah, for sure. Like I recorded in the studio before, and like, I mean, number one, the person who is recording you might not even be like close to you, so you feel like awkward or like, oh, this person kind of might not understand my style. So I mean, normally when I do records, like, no one ever tells me to like redo a track unless if I say so. But like, I think recording with Dan was really good because like he knows how my voice sounds like. So he can tell me like, oh, I think you can do better for this part, or I think you can do this, you know. But a recording engineer might not know what is my voice capable of.
Yeah. And when the clock is ticking and you're paying for the studio session, it's, like, it's different, right?
Stressful. Yeah.
Are there any hints of like what the new album might sound like? Are you guys currently already writing for album number 4?
Because now whatever we write, it might not sound the same. You know, then I write and then we give it to the band, it might sound completely different. But I think for now, it's a bit more like, I don't know, less positive. Because Nature Things was really open. I think it's a bit more like angsty maybe. I don't know.
So
that's what I can say.
We just need to like keep track on social media and, you know, follow all the updates.
Yes.
What's the best place for all our listeners to head to get all the latest updates?
I can listen to us on subsonii.bandcamp.com, or I mean, if you have Apple Music, Spotify, or all those other things, like, you should be able to find us, subsonii. And then we have an Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah, don't use Facebook that much, but yeah, Facebook, yes.
Thank you so much for joining us for a chat. It's been a great pleasure talking to you, and I can't wait for album number 4.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited for it also.
I'm saying all this, even though Nature of Things was just released early this year, right?
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. More music coming your way right after this. Here's a new one from Subsonic Eye. The track's called Dijanka. Stay tuned, keep it locked right here on Wavelength, bringing the best sounds from the Asian region on BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
from 2016's Raja Khelana album. That was the very talented Mundo Gascaro with Dan Bila. Couple more tracks for you to play out the show. I've got tunes from Indonesia and Taiwan coming your way. But first up, let's play one from Malaysia. It's Alien Lipstick Fire with a tune taken from the 5-track release called The Late Hours. Alien Lipstick Fire with 8-Bit Sadness.
Thank you. 在影子之
Taiwan, that was the band Deka Joins with the track 黑暗之中闭上眼. It's taken from the album Birth and Reflections released in 2020. Right before that was Indonesian singer Matahara with the track Alas Alas. We're approaching the end of this week's Wavelength episode. Big thanks once again to my guest for this week, Wahida from Subsonic Eye. Do check out their excellent latest full-length album. It's available on all streaming platforms and Bandcamp. If you'd like to revisit this episode alongside all our previous shows, you can do so by heading over to our website, www.bfm.my, search for Wavelength, and that's where you can get the full track list of all the songs I've been playing as well. If you'd like to get in touch, you can do so via Twitter. We are at BFM Radio, or write into us feedback at bfm.my. Gonna close off with something new taken from the freshly dropped album Flowerland by Pearl and the Oysters, French-American duo. But this next track features some vocal contributions from Kuo, who plays the guitar and sings for Taiwanese band Sunset Roller Coaster. Here's Pearl and the Oysters featuring Kuo with Soft Signs. Closing us up, you've been tuning into Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds and stories from the Asian region. I'm your host of New Thing. Do take care and stay safe. Join me again next week for more Asian tunes right here on BFM 89.9.
Was a desire. The way.
Close my eyes.